Well, I might have traveled a lot, but right now I'm having trouble traveling from the chair to the podium. Greetings. Wonderful to be here. I'm thankful for each of you and for the body of Christ, wherever it is. I appreciate your prayers. I appreciate them today. I've been having some physical problems. Since Wednesday, I had a problem at dialysis. I've just had some problems. And had problems getting around, and I'm doing better now, but I appreciate your prayers. I'm just thankful for all of you, the young and the old, your presence in my life, your influence that you have upon me, and your testimonies and your love of the gospel. And it encourages me to see you all here and to know you as brothers and sisters. I'm thankful for all the services that we have and the ones that we've had recently for a Wednesday night prayer service, both here and on the phone. I enjoyed the prayer breakfast that we had when it was a week ago or so, and the fellowship there on Saturday, and I hope you'd all take advantage of that. It was a wonderful time, and the food was good, by the way. And I understand they're planning a rally here in February, and we should be praying for that. I'm going to read the theme of that. It's from Ephesians 2:10. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. So we need to pray for that, pray for those that will be participating and planning and setting aside the dates. I think it's the 17th and 18th of February. 11th, 12th. I had a 50-50 chance. But I'm looking forward to that. It's been a blessing in years past to go to those, and I'm sure this will be too. I'm going to say again what a blessing it is to be part of an active congregation, young and the old, the kids that are sing and participate in the services and in their presence and in their testimonies and the testimonies of us that are older and those in between. And it's just wonderful. And, you know, we have these chances in our life to let our light shine out here in the congregation and out in the world. You know, when we go through those doors there and we're out in the missionary field. You know, I was blessed to be able to travel all over the world. We all are called, you know, for his purposes, to good works. Called to be separate ourselves from the influences of our society. Called to repent of our sins. Called to study the scriptures and apply them in our life. So I've had many thoughts for today, and I'm sorry I no longer can have confidence in being able to page through the scriptures, so I have everything printed out. I noticed in the recent sermons that we've had here and God's working among us, and I'm encouraged and excited about that. And recently, I know some of the others, I think, mentioned this. On January 7th, we had a meeting of the ministry. There were over 40 ministers, and we discussed some visions and dreams and other things for 2 hours. And, you know, it was a wonderful meeting. I really felt good about it. At first, when I got the emails concerning it, I was overwhelmed. You know, one of them was 13 pages long. Well, I don't do good with 13-page documents. And And once I heard more about them and had a chance to read them, you know, it's apparent that the Lord is working with his children, young and old. There were dreams and visions from young people. There were dreams and visions from old people. And we hope to put those together and make them available so we can be praying about these things. If I sat back after that meeting, and I did, and prayed about it, reflected on myself and the day and the time that we live, and the different services and the dreams and visions, I recognized the need for that I needed to repent, that I needed to come down into the depths of humility, that I needed to pray for charity, that I was lacking in my fasting and prayer, and the need to teach for fasting and prayer. You know, there's a couple of good studies on on the websites, cocsermons.net, on fasting and prayer. And I'd suggest you study that and pray about that. And I've got a couple of scriptures here that I took off of one of them, and I'd like to read them. From Omni 1. In verse 46, Omni 1. And now, my beloved brethren, I would that you should come unto Christ, which is the Holy One of Israel, and partake of his salvation and the power of his redemption. Yea, come unto him and offer your whole souls as an offering unto him, and continue in fasting and prayer, and endure to the end. So we're told here to come unto Christ and offer our whole souls to him, our complete life, our thoughts, our actions, our desires. Offer those things to him. And come with fasting and prayer. Fasting and prayer that the Lord might direct us. Fasting and prayer that he might forgive us. Fasting and prayer that he give us knowledge and wisdom, that we would be able to, in fact, endure to the end. That he would tell us those things that we had in our life that we needed to get rid of and unload them. In Mosiah, in the 11th chapter, it's talking about when Alma, the son of Alma, was knocked down and dumb and not moving, and they offered up prayers for him. And they fasted and prayed, it said. And he woke up. He repented of his sins, and he served the Lord faithfully for the rest of his life. A miracle through fasting and prayer. Daniel, in the 9th chapter, Daniel's praying that he'd understand the prophecies, and he fasted and prayed for it, and an angel, Gabriel, came to him and explained that to him, that he'd had that knowledge and the wisdom that he wanted and needed through fasting and prayer. In Mark 9, you know, the apostles were talking, they wondered, the Lord, trying to think of a word I can't think of. There was a man that had a devil in him, I think it was, and he cast him out, and the apostles, you know, were wondering why they couldn't do that. And the Lord said that this can only come by nothing but prayer and fasting. And so, you know, that's my thought for myself. And for the need to remember or to teach that we need to remember to fast and pray over everything and the Lord will bless us. You know, the apostles in 3rd Nephi, the apostles were praying, and the disciples at that time, and the Lord appeared to them and asked them what they wanted. Moroni tells us in the 6th chapter, and the church did meet together oft to fast and to pray and to speak one another concerning the welfare of their souls. And they meet together oft to partake of the bread and wine in the remembrance of Jesus. Goes on and tells us to conduct the meetings by the manner of the working of the Spirit. So, you know, to me, that's telling us we have a need to fast and pray individually and together for all things. For repentance, for forgiveness, for blessings, our works, our thanksgiving, understanding, and spiritual direction, deliverance from evil, and the fellowship of the Spirit, and healings and miracles. We have that opportunity. We have that opportunity individually. We have that opportunity collectively to do that. Give our whole soul to the Lord. In many different ways that you can fast, and some might not eat or drink or whatever, and some might put out of their life some other thing that's taking all their time. But the purpose is that we're sacrificing something to the Lord, to draw our mind in, to allow him to mold us and shape us and use us as his vessels. It's a promise. It's a commandment, I think, in the scriptures. I was reading in Ephesians the other day, and I came across this, and it's in Ephesians 6. And I want to start in the 10th verse, Ephesians 6, 10. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God that you might be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Take unto you the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. You know, the scriptures describe the day and the time that we live in. You know, we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, our governments, the powers around us, the economic rulers, the rulers of darkness, and spiritual wickedness in high places. You know. And so we have the need to use whatever God has offered to give us that we might endure. And we have a need to fast and pray more. I have a need to fast and pray more. Our country has, you know, failed to keep the moral fiber that it had for years, you know, hundreds of years, and lost directions of our forefathers. You know, what's good is now bad, and what's bad is now good in our laws. You can think about some of those, you know, and we got confusion all over, political divisions and floods and tornadoes, blizzards, everything, wars, rumors of wars. And the scriptures teach us that that's what happens when we turn from the Lord. The other day in that conversation of the ministry, Brother Joel Yates used Heal and Mend 2. I think it's on page 555, starting in the 56th verse. Heal and Mend 2, 56. And that they had altered and trampled under the feet the laws of Moses, or that which the Lord commanded him to give unto the people. And thus seeing that their laws had been corrupted, good became bad and bad became good, or law in some cases. You know, that's the day and the time that we live in. You know, I was working through my sermon and everything, and somebody sent me an email and told me that, you know, that even the Mormon Church was accepting the LGBT movement. And, you know, bad's good. And they became a wicked people, in so much that they were wicked, even like unto the Lamanites. And because of their iniquity, the church began to dwindle. And they began to disbelieve in the spirit of prophecy and in the spirit of revelation. And the judgments of God just stare at them in the face. You know, if we look in the world today, most of the churches in the world don't believe that God speaks to us. That, you know, that he isn't the same as he used to be. That he doesn't speak to us in revelation and dreams and visions and by a still small voice. You know, and it's that's why we need to be praying about these things. That's why we need to be fasting upon them, that we might not allow the society that we live in, which I'm going to call Babylon, overrules us, but that we'd separate ourselves. And we can do that by making sure we're not tied into everything in this world, that we're giving the Lord the time that we need to give him in our life. To fast, to pray, to help others, to think of those around us, and to serve him with all our might. And because of their, I read that. And they saw that they had become weak, like unto their brethren, the Lamanites, and that the Spirit of the Lord did no more preserve them. Yea, it had withdrawn from them, because the Spirit of the Lord doth not dwell in the holy temples. We get all caught up in everything else, and we make that our idols. We're in trouble, and we need to repent. But the good news is we can repent. The good news is we can pray about it. The good news is we can fast and pray about it. And the Lord has promised to lift us up, to forgive us of our sins, and to help us to endure to the end with his Spirit. And it goes on and says, therefore the Lord did cease to preserve them by his miraculous and matchless power, for they had fallen into a state of unbelief and unwickedness, and they saw that the Lamanites were more exceeding numerous than they, and except they should cleave unto the Lord their God, they must unavoidably perish. I don't think we're as bad as that. I don't misunderstand that. But the thought is there that because of the wickedness and that of the world, we can get caught up in them. And we're all influenced by it. And we need to reflect in our own lives how the influence of the world has separated us A little bit, a lot, not at all, whatever. So it's a time to reflect over these things. Some of those recent spiritual experiences, some thought it was a day of judgment or some action of the Lord. You know, we need to look in our own lives where we are today in our relationship with our Heavenly Father. In 2 Timothy 3, it says, starting in the first verse, "This know also, that in the last days perilous times shall come." I think we all believe we're in the last days. We don't know how last days they are, but we know by we look around us and what the prophecies have said and where we are and in our moral fiber as a nation. He says, "For men have become lovers of their own selves, covetousness, you know, proud, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy." And we experience that all the time. "Without natural affection, truce breakers, false accusers, incontinence, fierce, despisers of those that are good." You know, that good is bad and bad is good. You know, and truce breakers and you know, a contract doesn't mean anything, and people lie and accuse, and they don't control their emotions and their actions, and they're fierce, they're shooting each other, and the despisers of all those that are good. Isn't that the day and the time we live in? But the Lord is speaking to his people. The Lord is directing us. The Lord has given us promises, both answer to prayer and it within the scriptures. He goes on and says, "Having the form of godliness, but denying the power thereof, from such turn away." So we're not to have part with any of that. Pretty well describes them. We need to reflect where we are among those things. You know, we have all those things that within the church, all those things that we're talking about somehow, somewhere, you know, and we need to be praying for each other that we can overcome those weaknesses. We have people that live in adultery. We have people that break contracts. We have liars. We have all that. And in their weakness, we need to pray for them and to pray for ourselves that we haven't fallen into those things, quote unquote, that are good now. Not thought of, you know, if you're living with somebody and not married, nobody thinks about it just about. But the Lord does. He's told us they have to repent and he'll bless them. Fortunately, we've got two testimonies of Jesus Christ. We've got the Bible and we've got the Book of Mormon to show us that those teachings in the Bible weren't just for those days there or those people. Thank you. We can also read in 2 Timothy in the third chapter, "All scripture is given by the inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. It says, profitable, all scripture, by inspiration of God. It wasn't how men decided to write things down. God inspired them with the Holy Spirit and told them to write things down. And he doesn't change. Profitable, all scripture, profitable for doctrine. We can learn the teachings of Christ. For a reproof, we can accept it and allow it to lead us to repent and show us where we didn't know we were wrong, but now we find out that we're wrong. For correction and for instruction in righteousness. That the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. So when we read scriptures, to me it's telling us that we need to reflect on ourselves what it's teaching and how do we need to apply that and where are we in our life. And look for those things that the Lord is reproofing us and correcting us in and instructing us in righteousness. You know, he's on our side. He wants us to follow him. He wants us to endure to the end. He wants us to be with him for eternity. And he has allowed us all these scriptures and blessings and works of the Spirit to give us strength to overcome our weaknesses. Those things that slide in because of the society that we live in. In 2 Peter, in the first chapter, in the 19th verse, we have also a more sure word of prophecy, whereunto we do well that we take heed, as unto a light that shineth in a dark place, until the day dawn, and the day star rise in your hearts, knowing this first, that no prophecy in the scripture is of any private interpretation, but the prophecy came in time old by the will of God. But holy men of gold spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. I think I quoted that a little wrong there. But that sure word of prophecy, the sure word of the instructions of the Lord, that we need to take heed. You know, there's light in those things. It's giving us direction in those things. It's showing us how to live our life and giving us understanding. And he doesn't change. Wasn't the thoughts of men. It was how the Lord worked upon them with his Holy Spirit. Amos in the 3rd chapter in the 7th verse says, surely the Lord God will do nothing, but he revealeth his secret unto his servants the prophets. You know, make a sure word of future events a hope. You know, we have those things. We know what the end result is. We know what we need to do. We know what the promises are. And we have I hope we have a confident expectation that these things are going to come to pass. That they're just not written as a history book or something. Or a good feeling book, whatever it might be. But there's a purpose in the things that are written in the scriptures. And they're for us, all ages. And he wants us to win. He'll give us the knowledge if we ask him. He'll help us overcome our weaknesses. He'll speak to us when we get in those spots where we're wondering, why in the world am I here? And you'll get out of those circumstances. We've all been in them. You know, there's nothing new today. But we can overcome all those things through Jesus Christ. We can overcome those things by fasting and prayer and allowing him to direct us. You know, the Lord has so many wonderful promises in the scripture. It's mentioned in the Bible, and it's really mentioned well in the Book of Mormon, and that's paradise. You know, the thief on the cross recognized Christ, you know, and his sins were forgiven him, and he told him, I'll see you in paradise. That was a promise. There's something. The book of, and there's not an awful lot in the Bible about paradise, but the Book of Mormon pretty well explains it. You know, when we die, our body goes to the earth and our souls go to God, paradise of the righteous. Those of us that are keeping his commandments and trying hard have our faith in Christ. And a wonderful time, you know, that we have there. We have a belief in our articles of faith and practice. States that we believe in the literal gathering of Israel, and the temple will be built here on this spot of land, and it is the place of the New Jerusalem spoken about in the scriptures. I hope we have that hope. You know, we have a song on page whatever it is, 75, song number 75, longing for the gathering. On that bright and glorious morning when the Lord shall come again, and the gathering of the flock. And the gathering of the flock will flee to him. Then the saints of God will flourish when they meet in Zion's land. And afflictions, we will think no more of them. We are longing for the gathering. And it goes on and tells that, you know, we sing that song. That's one of my favorite songs. You know, and I moved here a lot of years ago now, close to 50, I guess. Sue and I wanted to raise our kids in a congregation of the church, but we also felt we were gathering to Zion, the Lord's place. And I'm thankful I did, because it brought me out of the world. I was headed in the wrong direction. I didn't know anything about the gospel. But I'm thankful I moved. Thankful for all of you and your effect on me. Anyway, there's a document. I don't know how many of us remember it. But it was called The Hope of Zion. And it was bill number one of 1989 of our conference action, called for a committee to study Zion. And they submitted that in 2004, 95 pages long or something. And it's good. We ought to all study it. I don't know where you can find it, but if you want it, I've got a digital copy of it now. In it, on the first or second page, is their definition of Zion after studying the scriptures on it. So I'd like to read that, because I hope we all have a hope of Zion. And we're longing for the gathering. Zion is a state of being to be brought by the Lord at his appointed time and place. As described in the scriptures, the state of being is righteousness and holiness, and is a state of oneness, of unity, where we all are one of heart and one mind, having the pure love of Christ, or charity, He goes on and quotes Moroni 7:50, where there exists a unity of the spirit and the bond of peace, and a couple other scriptures. And it goes on. This state was exemplified, or was an example of it, was given by in the Nephites. And Lamanite survivors are recorded in the fourth book of Nephi as they put into practice the teachings of the resurrected Christ. They attained this oneness and unity by obeying the commandments of Christ and teaching those things he taught, nothing varying, and by following the leading of the dwelling of the Spirit of God. Where are we? Are we trying to live like those Nephites did in the fourth chapter of Nephi? Oneness and unity of by obeying the commandments of Christ and teaching these things he taught, nothing varying. Then he goes on to say in that document I was talking about, the hope of Zion. Zion is also the church of Christ in its perfected state and the bride of Christ. Where the well-being of others is of great importance to each member. Or reflect on it personally. Because the pure love of Christ abides in each heart as commanded of the Lord. There is a desire to assist each other in temporal as well as spiritual affairs. You know, we're to listen to our brothers and sisters. We're to listen to their testimonies and how the Lord's blessed them. I hope that, you know, they'll listen to, I hope people will talk to me where I'm wrong and that I'll listen to it. This condition among believers is described in scriptures as being without envy and other sinful behaviors and having all things common among them. This condition among the believers is described in scriptures as being without envy and other sinful behaviors and having all things common among them. You know, there's been movements in the church and have all things common and everybody's supposed to give everything to everybody else. But that's not what that's talking about. You know, this is that because of the love for everybody, we're taking care of each other. As you can see, my fingers don't work as good as they used to. Excuse me. So reading on in that document, it says Zion is a state of being to be brought by the Lord at his appointed time. I think I read that, didn't I? As described in the scriptures, state of righteousness and holiness. It goes on and says that established Zion in the last days will be a place of safety where the Lord will gather his people according to his divine purpose. A place of safety where the Lord will gather his people. his covenants which he made to the house of Israel in ancient times will be fulfilled. Those he scattered shall come to the knowledge of the truth and shall be returned to their homelands as he promised. They shall obtain gladness and joy and sorrows, and the mourning shall flee away. I guess it's a quote from Isaiah 51. Scriptures teach us that he'll bless us in our desires to bring about the cause of Zion. In Mosiah 7:77, it says, "How beautiful upon the mountains are the feet of him that bringeth good tidings, that publish peace, that bringeth good tidings of good, that publish salvation, that saith unto Zion, thy God reigneth." How beautiful are, or how blessed are the feet of those that bring good tidings, that publish peace. The Lord will bless us in our efforts. But he'll fight against he'll fight against those that fight against Zion. Those the nations and people and doctrines or whatever it is that teach against Zion and the blessings of God. In 2 Nephi 11, verse 118, it says, "And all the nations that fight against Zion and distress her shall be as a dream of a night vision." Won't do them any good. They're not going to win. "Yea, it shall be unto them even as unto a hungry man which dreameth, and beholdeth, he eateth, but he awakeneth, and his soul is empty." No avail. "Or like unto a thirsty man which dreameth, and beholdeth, he drinketh, but he awaketh, and he beholdeth, is faint, and his soul hath appetite. Even so shall the multitude of all the nations be that fight against Mount Zion." The Lord will overrule. Remember, he wants us to win. He wants us to endure to the end. He wants us to be with him. He's provided these things. And it's a time for us to reflect on where we are in our life, personally and collectively. And are we prepared? I'd like to wrap up with a couple of thoughts here that I hope you take home today. Remember the fact that we're called to good works. Do them. Put them in our life. The Lord will bless us. Consider the fact that the Lord is working with the Church of Christ. He's here. He's among us. He's speaking to us. He's preserved the scriptures. And he's blessing us with his thoughts and influence of his Holy Spirit. We all have been baptized and received the gift of the Holy Spirit. And we have a need to use it, to call on it. We have a need to spend quiet time with the Lord and allow it to speak to us and reproof us and correct us and admonish us and lift us up and give us hope and bless us with the joy that we have in the gospel. Bless us with the joy that we have of hope of eternal life and of Zion and of things to come that are spoken of in the scriptures. Prayerfully reflect on our own need for repentance and fasting and prayer. Study fasting. Practice it for direction in our life to know the will of God and for understanding the prophecies and for his will. You know, we all have thoughts and have what we want in our life or we want in our kids' lives and what we expect of them and everything, but what our kids need to be doing and we need to be doing about for ourselves, What's the will of God? What does he want us to do? Where does he want us to go? Where does he want us to work? Who does he want us to be with and fellowship with? And he'll bless us. The last thing is to recognize the fact that we live in Babylon. And that we need to prepare ourselves for a day of shaking of judgment, or judgment, and ask God's for direction. We need to consider Zion and study and pray about it and have a hope for it. Work towards it. Ask yourselves, what am I doing for the cause of Zion? Memories of how beautiful are the feet of those that cause it to come. He'll bless us. What are we doing for the cause of Zion? Individually, collectively. I hope that you'll take some of that home and you'll pray about it. You'll study those things about fasting and continue to do them and do them more as I've been instructed to. And we need to continue to pray for one another. Thank you very much.